Good evening. I'm going to be mainly speaking to us young men this evening. The topic that I'm going to be speaking on is, will we be ready to take up the mantle? My dad had a sermon quite a while back on passing the mantle. But it ain't going to do any good for him to pass the mantle if there's no one to take it up.
Right.
I'm going to be reading in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah just fled for his life in the desert. Jezebel was trying to kill him because he killed the prophets of Baal. And God told him to anoint Jehu king and Elijah as the next prophet. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he turned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, slew them, and boiled the flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave them to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elisha, and administered it unto him. And then next time we hear of him is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass that when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he says, The Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood of view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elisha took out his mantle and wrapped together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou shalt see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be done to thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and cried, My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. In chapter 19, verse 18, God had just told him that he had 7,000 left in Israel that had not bowed to Baal because he thought he was the last one left. Why do you think God chose Elisha out of that 7,000? God must have seen in Elisha a young man that wasn't wrapped up in the pleasures of this world.
Yes.
A young man that was willing to leave everything, his family, his farm, his wealth. According to Gavin Clark, having 12 yoke of oxen would have been a fairly wealthy farmer back in that day. He left it all to do God's work, even if it meant his own death. He was joining with a prophet that was running for his life. He wasn't some famous prophet that was well-known and was a glorious thing to be a minister. He was running for his life. We see that Elisha truly valued Elijah's ministry. He wouldn't leave him. Elijah asked him three times to tarry while he went on. Most likely it was a test of his loyalty.
Yes.
But he proved that he loved God's work, and he wouldn't leave him. And then when Elijah was taken, he took up the mantle and became a great prophet for God. And then I want to look at the story of David. We won't be turning anywhere. David was a man that had a walk with God. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He had to fight a lot of wars, and he built a great kingdom. But when he died, he passed it on to his son Solomon. David had to work and fight to get where he was. But Solomon had it all handed to him. It's a lot like the people that move here. Their parents work and sweat and leave everything behind to move here. But then they leave it to their children. Do we truly value what our parents fought for? Solomon had peace. He didn't have very many enemies. He had God's blessing at the start, and God gave him great wisdom. Everything would have been great and wonderful had he valued it properly.
Yes, that's right.
But he felt like he forgot where all the wisdom and the wealth and prosperity came from, and he let it go to his head, and his wife turned him from God. Then we have his son Rehoboam. He was raised with great riches. He was raised with man's applause. He had the wisest man for his father. But he had it all handed to him too.
Yes.
And he did not value what his fathers had fought for. Instead, he lost almost the whole kingdom. So my challenge tonight is to us young men. Are we going to be an Elisha or a Rehoboam?
Come on.
Do we value what we have here? Will we be faithful when we are the ones that are being depended on to take up the mantle?
Good.
Or will we be a Rehoboam and compromise and end up losing what our fathers fought for? Or will we be a Solomon and just let part of it slip and let the generational breakdown hand less to our son and then let it all go downhill? We'll be able to pass on a mantle to those after us. Will there still be a mantle to pass on?
Come on.
We'll be able to teach the next generation why we do what we do. We need to be spending this time asking questions. While we still have our leaders with us, not just questioning everything that they do, but being willing to ask what the biblical reasoning is behind what they do. And any godly father or pastor is going to be very glad to explain, as long as you're doing it out of pure motive.
Amen.
We need to be preparing now. We need to be spending time reading God's Word, memorizing it. Someday we might not have it.
Right.
We need to be spending time in prayer, asking God what His will is for our lives. We need to be spending time witnessing. I don't think there's any other better way to learn what the arguments are for doctrine unless you get out there and start witnessing.
Right.
We need to be prepared now. We don't know when the time will come, when our leads will be taken from us. But we need to spend this time we have right now to be preparing for it. So the generation to come, if the Lord tarries, this church will still be teaching the faith once delivered. And that's all I have.